Well, good morning. It's 16 minutes after 8 a.m., and you're tuned to your community radio station. Joining me in the studio this morning is Steve Ramp, full-time vessel safety examiner with the U.S. Coast Guard. Welcome to Morning Edition, Steve.
Thanks for inviting me in.
Well, you come down here pretty regularly every year to talk about fishing vessel dockside inspections, and yeah, you do them year-round, but now's a time to really pay extra attention. Why is that?
Well, people are coming back into town from their winter locations, getting the boats, getting them ready to go for the season. We've got Sacro getting ready to gear up. The long lining season's opening up in a week or so. And it's a good time to get everybody thinking safety to make sure they don't forget that part of getting the boat ready for the season.
So these are dockside vessel inspections. What does that look like? What does that mean?
Well, it's a free service that the Coast Guard provides to the fishermen and the fisherwomen. And it takes about an hour, sometimes a little more, sometimes a little less. It's no charge. It's not an issue where if I find something wrong, you get a ticket. If I find deficiencies, I'll write a list out. It's a work list. And then the owner of the boat has a month to knock everything out and get his safety decal. If it goes over a month, then we usually have to start the exam over, but that's the worst thing that could happen. And then they know that a second set of eyes has gone over their boat. They're legally compliant, so if they got boarded at sea, they don't have to worry about a civil penalty if they get a written violation. And they know that their boat is up to snuff with all the safety requirements.
Do you have any stories about how these inspections may have really benefited a boat? Any success stories?
Yeah, we do. We had a boat in 2012, shortly after I got on the job, that had a dockside exam, had several severe deficiencies having to do with survival craft and EPIRB and immersion suits. And the owner of the boat did go to the steps necessary to correct all that. And within a couple of months, the boat encountered a rock at night in a storm and ended up sinking. And the life raft worked, the suits worked, the EPIRB worked, all the crew survived what could have been a disaster. So that's a feather in our cap in the program for sure.
What are some of those safety requirements you looked at? You mentioned EPIRB and immersion suits. Talk a bit about the major areas that you look at.
It's quite a list, and the fishing vessel safety regs are basically designed to where the bigger the boat, the more people it carries, and the farther offshore it operates, the more equipment it has or is required to have. So most boats need a survival craft in case their vessel sinks. They can get in the survival craft or life raft and be saved. Not all boats do. It's dependent on size and how many people on board and where they operate, of course. Every fishing vessel needs an immersion suit that's in good condition that'll fit everybody on board the boat. Anybody outside 3 miles has to have an EPIRB and extra flares, and then the requirements go up from that. Boats that fish offshore need high water alarms, general alarms, emergency power for their communications, and it's quite a list. That's why the exams take an hour or so.
Now, there are certain mandatory requirements for certain vessels. Can you go over that?
Yeah, just this past October 15th, the dockside exam process became mandatory for a large segment of the fishing population. And in Southeast Alaska, while we exempted the internal waters that are more than 3 miles offshore, any vessel that operates more than 3 miles past the outer coast of Southeast, so say 3 miles straight out from Cape Edgecombe, if you cross that 3 mile line, you're required to have a current Coast Guard exam decal.
Okay. So that's a requirement for those folks. For others, it is voluntary?
Yep, it's voluntary inside those lines as far as the Coast Guard's concerned. Some boat owners, their insurance company requires them to have an exam no matter where they operate. Other vessels that long line for federal fisheries, black cod and halibut, are subject to carrying a NOAA observer. And if you get selected for an observer on a trip, you have to have a current dockside exam from the Coast Guard to allow that observer on board. That's their policy to keep their observers on safe boats. So it could prevent a fisherman from going on a trip if he doesn't have a decal and got picked for an observer.
So lots of legal reasons, and also as we saw from that story you shared earlier, lots of just good common sense reasons to do this.
Yes, it's like anything in your own car. You hop in and out of your car every day. You don't look around. You don't see a little thing that might have gone wrong, but somebody else hops in your car. They might notice something. I'm that second set of eyes on a boat that doesn't see the boat day in and day out and can notice things that the owner might not. So that's an added measure of the safety that we can provide.
About how many boats do you inspect a year?
We're up to close to 300 a year out of the Sitka office, which is 200 to 300% increase in what it was before the full-time position was created in Sitka.
So is that an increase in vessels or an increase in people participating in the program, do you think?
Yes to both.
All right. Well, can we talk about those? So increase in vessels. We have some more fishing vessels moving in to Sitka?
No, we have more vessels participating in the program.
Oh, right. Okay. And why do you think there are more vessels participating?
Well, within Southeast Alaska, there's three full-time examiners, one in Juneau, myself in Sitka, and one in Ketchikan. And we really pull out all the stops to get the word out about the program, like what I'm doing here this morning, getting the word out about the program. And we work with the fishermen to help them get through the process as painlessly as possible. And I think the word's gotten out pretty good now, especially in Sitka, that it's not a bad process. You know, the fishermen are starting to trust us to come on their boat and go through their stuff. I mean, it's their home in a lot of cases, so you got to respect that and work with them to get them from maybe not being in compliance to where they are in compliance and have all the proper safety gear and that it's going to work properly when they need it.
Well, and you do this outside of Sitka as well.
Yeah, I travel to Yakutat, Elfin Cove, Pelican, Hoonah, Petersburg a couple trips a year. I've started going to Port Alexander once a year where they didn't really have a presence before. So it's good to get out of town and see different fleets and meet different people.
So how do you connect with fishing vessel owners?
The majority of them call me because they all have my number now because I've been on their boats on prior years. But we walk the docks, do radio shows like this to get the word out. And the number to call is 966-5620. If you want an exam, we'll get you an appointment. And word of mouth. So any way we can come up with to get the word out so that they get us on board to check their boat out and make sure it's safe.
So you mentioned how this could be a daunting process. And how long is that list of requirements, things they need to be able to check off to get the decal?
For most boats, it's a 3-page list of items I've got to go through. The first page is mainly administrative stuff on the document of the boat and who owns it and who to contact in an emergency. And then page 2 covers all boats. Page 3 covers documented boats outside the boundary line, and that adds a lot of requirements for those boats. So that's why it takes an hour, hour and a half for a documented boat that operates offshore. And for example, a state numbered 30-foot gill netter that operates over in Deep Inlet, I can be on and off in 30 minutes usually.
So a daunting process for a lot of folks probably. Do you ever bring people in ahead of time to go over the list so they can prepare?
I do. I call it a pre-exam meeting. They come over to the office. We've got a great website that our counterpart in Seattle created that will customize a requirements checklist based on a boat's size and where it operates. It'll take a 36-page requirements pamphlet and cut it down to 2 pages, sometimes 3, and then we print it out and go over it with the owner of the boat line by line so they know exactly what to do to get ready for the exam. And that makes a lot of exams the boats pass on the first visit. We don't have to go back and correct deficiencies that we found the first time.
So it's streamlining it for everybody involved, streamlining the process. Well, we're almost out of time, but really quickly, let's revisit the rules about life rafts for fishing vessels. That's changed a couple of times.
Yeah, it changed and then it didn't change. So starting in 2010, the Congress and the President passed a law and signed it that said no more survival craft outside 3 miles that allowed you to be in the water hanging on, like what we call a shark feeder. They're big orange donuts that are about 6 feet by 4 feet that you just tread water while you're hanging on. And then they amended that law in 2012, requiring the Coast Guard to do some reports back to Congress about the safety of those devices. And then they finalized it, and it was going to be February 26th of this year that started the process where boats outside of 3 miles had to have a survival craft, and it had to keep you out of the water.
No shark feeder.
No shark feeder.
That's quite an image.
That's what they call them down south. We don't have a big shark problem like, say, Miami. But then in February this year, early February, a couple weeks before the law was going to go into effect, Congress passed and the president signed a new Coast Guard authorization bill that had a rider in there that kind of delayed the implementation of that law again. And so now the Coast Guard has to take what Congress passed and the president signed as law, convert it into regulations, and that requires a whole rulemaking process, soliciting public comment. And we anticipate, we're guessing, that's going to take a year or more. So the rule change is going to come back. We just don't know exactly when yet. But we'll get the word out as quick as we can once we know some more info.
So did a lot of folks go out and buy life rafts?
I wouldn't say a lot, but several did. I know a local store sold 8 of them. And she was very gracious in offering to take them back after the rule changed. I don't think many did. I talked to a few that called me to find out about the rule, and they says, well, I'm safer with it, so I'm just going to keep it. I know I'm going to need it eventually. So that's good news.
That must be music to your ears.
Oh, yeah.
Well, okay. So really quickly again, what's the number to call if you would like a dockside vessel inspection?
966-5620.
Great. Thanks so much for coming down this morning again, Steve.
Thanks, Melissa.
We've been speaking with Steve Ramp. He is the vessel safety inspector for the U.S. Coast Guard. Fishing vessel dockside exams are happening, and safety first. That's the motto.